I was enraged by the tragedy of how Christianity could be warped to such an extent that people would be harmed in this way.
That was from a movie review of the film Boy Erased, a review written by Father Chris Williams, a Jesuit priest. Father Williams continues,
"After viewing this movie, I left the theater stunned. Stunned because of the brutality of what happened. And because this is merely one out of thousands of similar stories. The ideas surrounding homosexuality in the church have morphed into destructive messages of shame. These messages have launched themselves deep in the hearts of LGBTQ children, teenagers, and adults, and have caused mental illness, family abandonment, physical violence, and even suicide."
These messages have lodged themselves deep in the hearts of LGBTQ children, teenagers, and adults, and have caused mental illness, family abandonment, physical violence, and even suicide. Sadly, as we will see, this is all true. The movie Boy Erased, with Nicole Kidman and Russell Crowe, is currently available on Netflix. Two episodes ago, in episode 21, A Trans Christian's Quest for Authenticity, Aidan Yang mentioned that he had had a decade of failed conversion therapy. So what is conversion therapy, and why is it so dangerous? The American Psychiatric Association, the APA, says that conversion therapy, sometimes called reparative therapy, and more formally called sexual orientation conversion therapy, the APA, says that conversion therapy refers to
counseling and psychotherapy aimed at eliminating or suppressing homosexuality.
Counseling and psychotherapy aimed at eliminating or suppressing same-sex attraction. The APA also says,
the American Psychological Association opposes portrayals of lesbian, gay, and bisexual youth and adults as mentally ill due to their sexual orientation. Efforts to change sexual orientation through therapy have been adopted by some political and religious organizations and aggressively promoted to the public. The potential risks of reparative therapy are great, including depression, anxiety, and self-destructive behavior.
The APA continues,
however, such efforts have serious potential to harm young people because they present the view that the sexual orientation of lesbian, gay, and bisexual youth is a mental illness or disorder, and they often frame the inability to change one's sexual orientation as a personal and moral failure.
And finally, the APA says,
the idea that homosexuality is a mental disorder, or that the emergence of same-sex attraction among some adolescents is in any way abnormal or mentally unhealthy, has no support among any mainstream health and mental health professional organizations.
No mainstream health or mental health professional organization views same-sex attraction as a mental illness. God created these beautiful children. They are not broken. They are not defective. They are not mentally ill. They're one of God's most beautiful creations. The reason you can't pray away the gay is that God doesn't want his beautiful children changed. Stop promoting conversion therapy. It doesn't work. It destroys families. It should be banned. Alan Chambers, former president of Exodus, one of the largest groups advocating conversion therapy, after 37 years of running programs to change sexual orientation, trying to eliminate same-sex attractions, said,
99.9% of them have not experienced a change in their orientation.
A 99% failure rate is the worst form of quackery. It is unethical. It is immoral. It is wrong. God is sending us a message when something doesn't work 99% of the time. In 2013, the New York Times ran an article by Ian Lovett titled, "After 37 Years of Trying to Change People's Sexual Orientation, Group is to Disband." The article says, in part,
"For 37 years, Exodus International was the leading beacon of the ex-gay movement, which maintained that gay men and lesbians could change their sexual orientation through prayer and psychotherapy. For the past year, the group's president, Alan Chambers, has been increasingly vocal in proclaiming that therapy could not change a person's sexual orientation."
Alan Chambers has written a letter of apology, which says, in part,
"I am sorry for the pain and hurt many of you have experienced. I am sorry that some of you spent years working through the shame and guilt you felt when your attractions didn't change. I am sorry we promoted sexual orientation change efforts and reparative theories about sexual orientation that stigmatized parents."
Good Lord, 37 years. How many families, how many hundreds of thousands of lives were hurt by this quackery? The website Statista says,
28% of U.S. LGBTQ youth who had experienced conversion therapy had attempted suicide within the previous 12 months.
28% of the U.S. LGBTQ youth who had experienced conversion therapy went on and attempted suicide within the last 12 months. Statista also reports that this is more than double the rate of suicide attempts when compared with LGBTQ youth who did not have conversion therapy. Send your child to conversion therapy and you more than double the risk of suicide. In 2014, Time magazine ran a story by Maya Rodan titled, 9 Ex-Leaders of the Gay Conversion Therapy Movement Apologize. The 9 formally came out against conversion therapy and now support a ban on the practice with minors. Amen to that. These 9 ex-leaders of the conversion therapy movement wrote,
"We know firsthand the terrible emotional and spiritual damage it can cause, especially for LGBT youth. We once believed that there was something morally wrong and psychologically broken about being LGBT. We know better now. Conversion therapy reinforces internalized homophobia, anxiety, guilt, and depression. When change doesn't happen, it leads to self-loathing and emotional and psychological harm. We now stand united in our conviction that conversion therapy is not therapy, but is instead both ineffective and harmful."
It is both ineffective and harmful. It leads to self-loathing.
"We now stand united in our conviction that conversion therapy is not therapy, but is instead both ineffective and harmful."
In a 2021 article titled, "Netflix Pray Away Exposes Conversion Therapy Fraud," John Becker calls Pray Away a must-see Netflix documentary. Writing in Conscience magazine, he says,
"The film tells the story of the Christian ex-gay movement through the eyes of 6 of its most prominent leaders. With the exception of McCall, each has apologized, renounced their former beliefs, and now publicly discusses the harm they've caused. With a whopping 698,000 victims in the United States alone, so-called conversion therapy has been debunked and discredited by every major mainstream association of medical and mental health professionals."
With a whopping 698,000 victims of conversion therapy, it has been debunked and discredited by every major mainstream association of medical professionals. John Becker continues.
Deemed ineffective and harmful, half of U.S. states have laws partially or fully banning conversion therapy for minors. But as Pray Away vividly illustrates, this violent practice remains a threat to LGBTQIA+ people.
In 2019, the American Medical Association backed a nationwide ban on conversion therapy. As NBC reported, the AMA,
the leading medical group, throws its weight behind ending the discredited practice of trying to change one's sexual orientation or gender identity.
Adverse outcomes appear even worse for trans kids. In a 2019 NBC story titled "Transgender Conversion Therapy Associated with Severe Psychological Distress," researcher Dr. Jack Turbin said that
one of the most alarming findings from the study was the even higher risk of psychological distress for those who reported exposure to conversion therapy during childhood. Those who were subjected to the practice before age 10 were 4 times more likely to report lifetime suicide attempts than the general transgender population.
Trans adults who were exposed to conversion therapy before age 10, before the 4th or 5th grade, were 4 times more likely to report suicide attempts later in life. Wow! Who is sending their 3rd grader to conversion therapy? The study also reported that secular professionals and religious advisors had equally bad outcomes when trying to change the gender identities of trans children. So a non-affirming secular counselor might be just as dangerous to your child's life as a non-affirming pastor or priest. I've reached a couple of conclusions based on this research and research that we've quoted in earlier episodes, particularly episode 11, Why Young Christians Are Leaving the Church and Some Are Committing Suicide. I now believe if you or your child, even a young child, are somewhere in the rainbow, or might be somewhere in the rainbow, you have to ensure that a counselor, a pastor, or a spiritual advisor is affirming before you use their services. The simplest way to ascertain this is to ask if they support gay marriage and gay ordination, both of them. And if the answer is no to either, or vague, or conditional, head for the door. Now, it would be easy to listen to this podcast and think, if I'm somewhere in the rainbow or questioning my sexuality, I should never seek counseling or spiritual advice. But that is not what I'm saying, and that is not what the evidence shows. Counseling done well can be hugely helpful, life-saving, joy-creating. Sex-positive Christian counseling, particularly for someone who feels guilt about sex or gender issues, can be positive and transformative. Having a pastor tell you that God created you the way you are and you are God's perfect creation is a transformative experience for some queer teens. Queer Christians get clobbered by conservative churches twice. First, they're told that they can't marry, and then they're told that only married people can have sex. This double-barreled attack on one's sexuality can leave one hopeless, suicidal, and without faith. Whether you are straight or queer, having a pastor or a Christian counselor tell you that not all premarital sex is sinful can bring you closer to God, and it is a necessary prerequisite to developing ethical sexual behaviors. Premarital sex is not banned anywhere in Scripture. But that doesn't mean that all premarital sex is God-honoring. We cover that in episode 13, When is Sex Between Two Unmarried People God-Honoring?, which includes Grandma Claire's famous 7 rules for sex between unmarried people. So if you or your child or a relative or a friend is questioning their same-sex attraction or their sexual behaviors, feeling guilt or shame, you can find affirming, sex-positive counselors and some are Christian. A good place to start is with a pastor of an affirming church. An affirming church is a church that will both marry and ordain queer individuals. Ask an affirming pastor at an affirming church for recommendations. Another source of queer-affirming counselors is LGBT centers. Google can tell you if there is one near you. I've also provided the links to several websites that provide guidance to finding queer sex-positive counseling. Many counselors also have a Zoom option. Be cautious, be selected, read references and reviews. If a counselor doesn't click when you meet, then look for someone else. But if you are struggling with depression or guilt about your gender orientation or sex life, get help. I would also ask prospective counselors what advice they give about premarital sex. And if they say, it's always sinful, it's never allowed, I would look elsewhere. It's nowhere in the Bible, and over 90% of Christian couples have premarital sex. To summarize, if you're feeling guilty or depressed about gender or sexual issues, find a counselor or a spiritual advisor who is sex positive and affirming. And finally, it would be easy to listen to this podcast and say, I'm never attending church, and I'm certainly never taking a rainbow child to one. But that's not what the research is saying. The research indicates that married couples, families, and children who regularly attend church services, no matter what the denomination, do better at life. They are less likely to divorce, they use fewer drugs, they do better in school, and they're less likely to be arrested. Unfortunately, this protective effect does not extend to rainbow children attending conservative or non-affirming churches. So my message is, find a church that celebrates both your child's sexual orientation and yours. For if you have a rainbow child and you stop going to church, it can leave the child with a sense that they have been cast out, unwanted, abandoned by God. It is far superior to find an affirming church that celebrates rainbow children, even if the music isn't as good, even if the congregation is smaller, even if the church service is less convenient. Everyone needs to know and be told frequently that God knit them together in their mother's womb, and that God celebrates their existence and deliberately created them exactly the way they are. The angels sing of your existence, and all heaven delights in your well-being. One wonders if it is safe to take any child to a non-affirming church, as they appear to have such a disproportionately high number of sex scandals. And those churches that additionally prevent women from becoming pastors or priests seem to have the highest incidence of sexual scandal. This is a topic for another day, but if my wife and I had a child today, we would find an affirming church, even if it meant driving a bit further. This is Elton Sherwin. You stay safe and God bless. All movie reviews, letters, and articles were read by Descript, not the original authors.